everybody. This is episode 395 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez, and I've got some indie games to talk about, but before I get to that, I want to get a little bit of hate out of the way. First, a little bit of love. I finally watched this movie I've been meaning to watch for a long time on Netflix. It's called The History of Future Folk. And it is a very low-budget indie sci-fi movie about this alien who comes from this planet, Hondo. And he comes to Earth to eradicate the humans. And so that his people can take it over. But then he hears some music, Earth music. And he's just enamored with it. And then he falls in love with an Earth girl. And decides to abandon his mission and try to find a way to make it so that both the Hondonians and the Earthlings can live on their own separate planets. Because the reason why he needs to they need to inhabit a new planet is because an asteroid or comet or whatever is coming towards their planet. So he's trying to find a way of destroying it so that they can both just continue living their own lives in their own places. So in a way, it's almost like that Flight of the Conchords song, Robots, stretched out into a movie. And musically, it's very similar to Flight of the Conchords. And even tonally, it's got a lot of similarities to Flight of the Conchords. And I would say if you like Flight of the Conchords, it's definitely worth checking out. But where I think it differs is that it is not as ridiculously silly. And it has a lot more heart and sweetness to it. There's a very, very sweet, heartfelt story from the main character who's Trish? It's not Trish. He's not Trish. It's like Turish. And I was surprised by that. I thought it was just going to be this silly little thing. But it also is very, very sweet and somewhat touching. And the music's great. There's a scene with a banjo that they sent an alien to kind of assassinate him because he wasn't doing his job. And he captures him. And then he wants to try and show him why he's done what he's done by playing a medley on a banjo. And the way the character who's being held hostage reacts to his music is the way I felt watching the movie. That's the way I reacted. I just adored the movie. I think it is just absolutely delightful. And the music is great. The story is great. It's just a great, great little indie flick. And I really wish it was available on Blu-ray because I want to own it. I want to give him money. And, yeah, I'm actually thinking about buying one of their graphic tees, which is something that I don't really do. I don't wear any graphic tees, even Ninja Turtle ones, but I kind of just want to support them for that awesomeness. I think they even, on their website, give away their music for free. So it's ridiculous, and I just want to give them money. I wish I could buy a Blu-ray, but it's on Netflix. It's called The History of Future Folk, and it's fantastic. Moving on to things I hate. Still hate Fortnite. They got some little caught in my throat right there. Maybe Fortnite is trying to prevent me from talking about how much I hate it. But I hate it. And the reason why I hate it now more than in the past is because I am unable to play it. And I've been unable to play it for about a week straight now because it just won't load at all. Every time I try to launch it. And I'm playing on Xbox One, and I don't even know if other people who can actually get it to launch are still experiencing the login bug. Maybe that's been fixed. I know they had an update on the 29th of August, I believe, adding a new mode and some other crap, which I would love to check out if I could play it, but I'm not willing to delete it and reinstall it to see if that fixes it, because I know there are other people who have experienced this problem and have done that and that hasn't fixed it. And while I don't think it's a huge file, I don't want to waste any gigabytes on Fortnite against my data cap. So that's just an annoying thing the fact that I can't even launch the game. It just sits at the home, at the dashboard, and then it says, oh, I'm sorry, it took too long to load. You want to try again? I'm like, no, I'll try again maybe in a day or something. But there was another update. I've had like 5 or 6 updates since I've last been able to launch it, and none of them have fixed that problem. So, yeah, whatever. The game itself is a piece of early access trash anyway. They're shoving out there like it's a full final release, even though they do tell you very, 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 very subtly that it is a beta, essentially. They don't do a good enough job of making that known. And I think the fact that they're selling a retail copy is disgusting. But yeah, I also hate Restaurant to Another World, which is on Crunchyroll, also known as, what is it, Isekai Shokudo. It's just, I hate it more with each episode, and I can't wait for the season to end, and I've said this already, but I'm really just watching it because I've already stuck with it this long, and I might as well just finish it out, but it is one of the most boring anime I've ever seen, that I can recall, at least. I can't think of many. I don't know if actually there is an anime that I found more boring than Restaurant to Another World. I just don't see why anyone would give any shits about this. It's not quality slice of life, because at least in those, in the slice of life thing, there's at least some kind of interesting thing that happens, or there's characters who are consistent and you enjoy their personality, but nobody really has much personality. Nothing really happens. When everyone eats their food, the music just changes. It elevates slightly to be like, oh, they're enjoying this. Look, it's happy music. And they talk about how much they like it. And I don't care about anything happening. The food isn't fantastic. Like, there's nothing special about the series. And it's just really disappointing. I was really excited about it. I liked it at first, and then I was like, oh, this is just the same crap. And they rehash things where it's just like, oh, they're going to argue about this food and that food and whatever. And I wonder if the series is suited and geared towards the small chunk of people who have a fetish for watching thin anime lips, often lady lips, eating small bites of food. Because, like, I don't know. I was watching the last episode with the fairies, and they're just taking their little bites, and I'm like, this is all this is. No one has a personality. There's no story or anything. And I just, like, I feel like it would probably work really well if it was a short. I've said this before, but it's not a short. It's a full-length episode series, and it's ridiculous. And I remember, I think it was on the Crazy Sunshine podcast, they were talking about how the only show they could compare it to was this short that I think was maybe 3-minute episodes. And they might have only been comparing it to that because of the fact that they were both about food and whatnot. But I think you can compare it to that also because Restaurant to Another World feels like it should be a 3 to 6 minute short. But it's not. And that's what makes it so awful. Because it just drags on and on and on and on. And ugh, it's one hell of a slog. Moving on, though, to the indie games I've played. I'm going to start with Surf World Series, which I got a code for the Xbox One. And it's $14.99. Also available on PlayStation and Windows. And this is, what do you expect it to be? It's a surfing game. And I've only played a few hours or so, did the tutorial and some of the single player levels or championship things, whatever you want to call them. And it's not that bad. It's nice to see a surfing game again, but I just wonder if it's going to have the legs, because as far as I know, and from what I've heard and read, it seems like it's really just these different waves and not much else. It's not like you're surfing around in super... It's not like it gets... Like, there's too much variety to the actual environments or what you're doing. You're really just surfing these waves. And, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, it's a $15 game. It's not a $60 game. But I just wonder if it's going to keep my attention for that long. But I've been enjoying it. I think the controls take a little bit of getting used to. And that just might be because the controls are different, or because it's just, you know, we collectively haven't played a surfing game in a long time, so trying to maneuver around this wave and not wipe out and whatnot is something we have to relearn. But I'm enjoying it. You can ride the tunnel or whatever it's called. What is it? I don't know what it's called. What's the term? But you go in the tunnel, and that is actually kind of boring. But then you can do tricks on the wave. You can do grabs. You can do spins. And there's a lot of nuances to the tricks. So you do grabs by pressing one of the face buttons. You do spins by preloading the spin before you hit the wave with either bumper. Then you could just do regular air things. You can, I don't know if it's called riding the wave, but sort of grinding the top of the wave by holding the left trigger. And you do that until there's like when you hold it, you get a little yellow bar, and then there's a green part and a red bar. If you hold it too long, you're going to wipe out. If you let go on the green, it's going to be really good. And I don't know, like, I don't know what else. There are also a little meter that builds up to 4 different levels, and that allows you to do super tricks, which you then punch in 3 of the face buttons before you make a jump, and then you'll do a super trick. And it'll do slow motion, and it'll be like, oh, I feel so good. But yeah, it's a solid game from what I've played so far, and it has a very suitable indie rock, happy pop. I think there's a little bit of rap in there too, soundtrack. So yeah, I mean, if you enjoy surfing and have been itching for a surfing game, I don't know if any other surfing game exists, and thankfully this one, Surf World Series, is actually pretty good, which is surprising. I feel like I've played quite a few smaller budget sports games recently, and they haven't really been all that great. And even ones that are full price, like those cricket games or whatever, that are like $60, been crazy. But Surf World Series is a really solid surfing game. And it's just crazy that there's a new surfing game out there. So that's cool. Moving on to X-Morph Defense, which is a top-down shooter, tower defense hybrid. And I really, really like it. One, it looks great. I'm playing on Xbox One. It is $19.99. And it is what you'd expect it to be. You build various towers to defend waves of enemies coming in, at least ones that are on the track on the streets, and you could put up fences to change your path, so you can alter the paths of incoming enemies. There will also be flying enemies, so that you will that you can take down with the towers, but you also can destroy given your top down shooter side of the thing. But I don't know if there's been a game like this before that is a hybrid. I was thinking of that one game, but that was like a reverse tower defense. What the hell was it called? That doesn't matter. But the thing about X-Morph Defense is that it looks really good. It plays really well. It runs smoothly. There's a lot of interaction and destructibility in the environments, and it feels good. The top-down shooter part of it feels really good, and I find myself leaning towards that as opposed to the tower defense side of it. There's a good balance between the two, because you can't win any level without doing both. I mean, it'd be stupid for you not to take advantage of your top-down shooter aspect and the added offense, but you can't win a level if you just avoid putting down towers, or you don't put up fences and altar paths and just allow them to take the shortest path there, because that really helps in just preventing them from getting to your base, which you protect. And you can also get upgrades as you progress through the story and whatnot. But yeah, I've always been a fan of tower defense games, but I haven't really gotten into too many recently. But I think X-Morph Defense is a really, really good addition to the genre, and it really blends the whole top-down shooter tower defense aspects really, really well. And I'm liking it. And like I said, the environments are somewhat destructible, and you can destroy high rises and have them crumble on enemies, damaging them. There are boss fights that are pretty intense, though I don't think I didn't find them too difficult. They were somewhat time consuming, but they were enjoyable just for the spectacle going on, and the destructibility was really exacerbated in those moments as well. But I really, really have enjoyed my time with it so far, and I'm looking forward to playing more. So yeah, that is X-Morph Defense, available on Xbox, PlayStation, and Windows as well. $20. Definitely check it out. There's also split screen co-op, which is super cool. And all of the missions have different scenarios that are designed specifically for co-op. So, you know, you have those extra scenarios and challenges to go along with the ability to play with a friend. So that's cool and always appreciated. Last but not least is Grid Retro Enhanced. And I want to make sure that I'm not... Yeah, that one is $20. Because there's something I played that was like $25, and I can't remember what it was, but it's not that. But Grid Retro Enhance is $12, also available on Xbox One, and then PC, Mac, and Linux. So there you go. It's a Steam Play title. Isn't that fun? But it is an arcade shooter that is somewhat reminiscent in gameplay style to Rez, these sort of grid-based octagon, but it's not octagon, it's just this sort of, you're in this, you know, tunnel pathway track type of arcade shooter with a heavy electric synthwave soundtrack that is really good, and it just makes the game that extra bit exciting with Tron-esque light wave visuals, neon visuals. But yeah, it's a very simple game in that you're just going down this tunnel path and you're avoiding certain traps, destroying certain objects to get little bonuses. You'll get upgrades every now and again, and then occasionally you'll fight enemies where you get a very I'm trying to think of the word. It's not forgiving, but a very generous lock-on. So when you're fighting enemies, it's very easy to, you know, get a lock-on and destroy them, attack them. And I find that with enemies, the best strategy is often to just constantly move and just keep firing, because you don't have any limit on ammunition. And if you just keep moving, there's a very good chance you won't get hit, because when you are fighting enemies, they usually don't throw in added obstacles that you have to avoid. So that takes away. But they could do that later on, because the big part of the game is there's an endless mode and arcade mode, and that's pretty much it as far as I know. And you're just learning the game more and more as you play it, and getting slightly better at it, and just seeing if you can get a little bit further with each playthrough. And it's a really, really good game to pick up and play. I like playing a game or two, and I think it's a really well-made little arcade shooter that is great for 10-15 minute gameplay sessions. You know, you just have a handful of minutes to throw into a game, throw in Grid, play it once or twice, and then, you know, go about your business. It's got a great soundtrack, and it runs really well, which is important because it's really, really fast, and I've had no issues with the gameplay. The only thing I don't like, and I'm not sure if it exists in the endless mode, but the leaderboard in the arcade mode, as far as I can tell, at least on Xbox One, it does not have any kind of online leaderboard yet. Maybe they'll add that at some point, but or maybe I'm just missing where I can access it, but that is a bit frustrating, and that somewhat takes away from the longevity, because if you can only compete against your own high score, eventually I think for a lot of people that'll just get pointless. You know, I mean, as much as I like seeing my high score go up and improve with each game, you know, unless I have a bad game or whatever, it's much more enjoyable to be competing against other people, friends or people or strangers, you know. I think that's part of what helps a lot of arcade games keep one's attention. But it's really fun, and yeah, highly recommend checking that out as well. So this has been a indie positive episode. I've enjoyed the three indie games I've played, and I've played them all on Xbox One, and they all run well, look great. The surfing game, you know, there's not much to it. You know, it's not very styled or anything, but it does still look pretty good for a small little indie game. And yeah, so Surf World Series, X-Morph Defense, Grid Retro Enhanced, all available on Xbox One and PC. And X-Morph Defense and Surf World Series are also available on PlayStation 4. So check them out if any of them sounded interesting to you. I hope this episode was all right. It's been a hectic few days, but I want to make sure I get an episode out. So my mind is a bit scatterbrained. I'm also very tired. You know what I've been doing? Because my back's been killing me. Is I've been sleeping on my back, and that's helped a bit. But it's just super uncomfortable so far. I'm a stomach sleeper, but I've always heard that's not really great for a lot of things. But yeah, that's really interesting. Anyway, that will do it for today's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Marcus Genez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Mind on My List, and Steam. Also, pretty much everywhere else, at PX Sausage, except PSN, where I'm the Kush 3. Please let me change my name. I still want to do that, and I still want to pay you. Just let me do it. And then, of course, the site is pixelatedsausage.com, where you can check out this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, as well as the art I do. I'm almost finished with the inking of a new piece that I'll post probably tomorrow. And then I'll begin the coloring process with that. So that's exciting. So, yeah. And you can check out all the art I have at pxsart.com. And if you'd like to order a print, there are links to go with all of the pretty pictures. And, of course, if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and drop a buck or two every month to show how much you don't love us. You kind of like us. You're like, you're all right. Here's a dollar. And that's fine with us. But yeah, you can support us through Patreon. Just patreon.com/pxs. And that will do it for today's episode. Hope you all had a wonderful week so far. And continue having a wonderful week. So,